Let's turn in now in God's Word to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon in chapter 1. And if you didn't know, Song of Solomon is after the book of Ecclesiastes. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And we'll read the whole chapter. Our passage we're looking particularly at is verses 8 through 17. We'll read the whole chapter. In chapter 1, let's pray first to the Lord. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for your word. We are thankful that you speak to us, that you love us in your Son Jesus Christ, that you manifest that love in your Son Jesus Christ, and that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have eternally loved your people. You have foreknown us. And so we give you praise. What unending love you have for your children. And so help us now. Weak as we are, sinful as we are, give us hearts to receive your word by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1, these are God's words. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companion? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Those are God's words. We come this evening to join together in the celebration of the Lord's Supper, to celebrate the death and sacrifice, the substitutionary atonement of our Savior Jesus Christ, who offered for us on the cross, who was offered for us on the cross, receiving the just penalty for our sins. We heard this morning of the sins. If we continue in them, we are warned that we will be judged. And yet the promise for the people of God, the true believers, those who have true faith, is that His mercy endures forever. His long-suffering is infinite. His compassions are a well never exhausted. His love is a love which passeth knowledge. One thing, as Christ came nearer to the cross, only a few hours from being turned over to the priest, betrayed by Judas Iscariot, Jesus knew the disciples would forsake Him shamefully. And yet, in full view of their approaching display of weakness and infirmity, our blessed Savior did not cease His love for His disciples. He was not weary of them. He loved them to the last. And He ate and instituted the Lord's Supper with them right before this, right before He was rejected by them or forsaken by them. The warning this morning was to get to your hearts, lest you become a Judas and betray completely your Master and King, Jesus. One amazing thing that we are shown in this passage, that Jesus loves us at all. Why would He even love us to begin with? And then He cares for our souls, that He should love us before we loved Him, or even know anything about Him, that He should love us so much as to come into the world to save us, to take our nature on Himself, to bear our sins, to die on the cross. Love indeed. Amazing love Jesus shows to us. This love that is not known amongst mere men. A love that is, even the angels of God desire to look into. Remember, beloved, if you are united to Christ, He will never reject you, even for reason of feeble service on your part or weak performance, because those whom He receives, He always keeps. Those whom He loves at first, He loves to the last. And so, beloved, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust in His sacrifice for your death and for your life, then turn from all thought of sin that Christ will cast you off because of your failures, and dismiss Him, not into hopelessness on account of your infirmities and weaknesses. Your only option is to not run from Him. That's what those who are judged by Him do. They run from Him. That we heard this morning in Amos. The only option you have is to run to Him. The whole measure of the gospel is that when we are unfaithful, He remains faithful. His grace abounds. We are black, verse 5. We are unworthy sinners, but He is worthy. He is spotless and perfectly righteous. Do you love Jesus Christ? In our preparation sermon, we heard, do you not only love the things that He has done? Do you love Jesus Christ? We heard also last Lord's Day of our desires for Christ. Do you desire Christ? Do you desire fellowship with Him, communion with Him, your bridegroom? Do you long to be with Him, spend time with Him? Where are your desires? The church is the bride. In Song of Solomon, the church is the bride. And the bride here, verse 2, longing for that communion, longing for Christ, our bridegroom, our husband. Verse 2, it says, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for Thy love is better than wine. That's the church speaking. Because of the savor of Thy good ointments, Thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love Thee. Draw me, we will run after Thee. The King hath brought me into His chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in Thee. We will remember Thy love more than wine. The upright love Thee. Do you love Him? We look at ourselves. We look at ourselves this morning. What we see is sin. Verse 5 again, I am black. We see our sin. We're unworthy. But then the church says, but I'm lovely in Christ. Verse 7 again, pleading the church, the bride, pleading for communion with our beloved, with our husband. Verse 7 says, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And our Savior, our husband, responds, verse 8, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Do you not know my love? Jesus says. Do you know my bride, my church? Do you know my love? Do you not see it there in my humiliation? From my birth all the way to the cross for you. Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall desire, or who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In John 19, it says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. That is a whip with many different individual whips with bone in it, and that grabs the flesh and rips the flesh off. And Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Do you see husbands? Husbands, do you see what the husband of the church, Jesus Christ, went through? All out of love for his bride. Oh, how he loves his bride, the church. Verse 9, it says, I have compared thee, O my love, that is the church. I have compared the church. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. You are compared, church, to the most excellent of horses amongst Pharaoh's chariots, Egypt famous for horses. Your spiritual beauty and excellency, there is no worldly treasure compared to you, Jesus says, to you. No worldly treasure that is compared to you. That's what Jesus thinks of you, the church. He loves you. Verse 10, thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. Why does the bride look like this? Like a princess, like a queen. Because the King, Jesus Christ, your husband, has adorned you with His love. With His righteousness. With His Spirit. Crowned you with the crown of love. Notice verses 8 through 11. It's the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, speaking to the bride. Verse 7. The church, she's pleading, church, you're pleading for communion, closeness of that, to have that love, to have that desire for your husband, Jesus Christ. Verses 8 through 11, Jesus speaks to you, I'm here. I'm here, look what I've done for you and keep doing for you. I love you. Sacrificing all things for His bride. Glory with His Father, He sacrificed. His body to the cross He sacrificed, all for His bride, all for you. Jesus, our husband, speaks here, right? It's like in a few chapters in the Song of Solomon. There's Jesus' hand through the door. He had knocked on the door and you're in bed. He's knocking on the door of your heart and you eventually run to Him. You run to Him, but He's not there. You cry out, Jesus, Jesus! And then you finally see Him. He is drawn near to you so you can see Him. And He draws near by speaking to you in His Word. He returns to her soul. He returns to her soul. And there's communion again, fellowship again, a warm embrace of your husband, Jesus, who loves you forever. Think about that. Communion with your husband in verses 12 through 14. The bride responds again. Verse 12, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Oh, how he loves me, Christian. He's invited me. The king invited me to his table. You are here, invited to the table because the king, your husband, loves you. Jesus loves you. He's the King. Revelation 19. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's our husband. That's our husband. Jesus, our husband. Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus, our husband, our beloved, He who is seated at the Father's right hand in the heavenly places on the throne, the King of Majesty. Seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. King Jesus, who loves us, given to us and for us because He loves us. And you are united as one to Him, one flesh. Like that one flesh relationship, you're united as one to Him. And He's brought to you as the King of Kings to His table. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the Prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The King sits at His table, and you, church, sit with Him. What a privilege. What a showing of His love for you, and the spikenard sends forth its smell. When Jesus is anointed, Mark chapter 14, before His death, and it says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as He sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on His head. And there were some that had an indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Verse 12, "While the King sitteth at His table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." Do you smell His love for you? He was anointed unto death, and now it says she, the church, she smells the spikenard. It's hers now. It's come upon her now. It's hers. She's embraced Him. As we love and commune with Jesus Christ, our husband, she embraces, the church embraces and communes with our Savior. And now the spikenard that is His, anointed Him, is all over us. Verse 13, "A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts." There is that sweet communion with Jesus our Savior, Jesus our King, Jesus our husband, my beloved. And all the spikenard rubbing off on me, the church, anointing me with His Holy Spirit. And the smell of Christ's love is sent forth. Anointing. And they, husband and wife, Christ and the church, sit at the table together. Christ and His bride, the church, the smell takes over the room. That's communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved. He is most dear to me. Church, is Christ most dear to you? Can you truly say, my beloved? Christ is my beloved. Verse 14, "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of En-Gedi. The word there, campfire or henna, in some of your translations, that word there describes Christ. It is that word that speaks of atonement. So, again, if you want to underline that word, henna or campfire, it speaks of atonement. It's the same word that you'll find throughout the Old Testament speaking and used for atonement. For propitiation. You see, Christ is a cluster of merit and righteousness to all believers. Christ, our husband, my beloved, is dear unto us because He is the propitiation for my sins and your sins if you come unto Him. He made atonement for us. And that to me is like a cluster of campfire, of henna blossoms in the fruitful vineyards of En-Gedi. He loved me in this way. He gave Himself for me. He is my King, my God, my Savior. And is it true with you that desire for Christ? You want to have that communion with Him, like verse 7, pleading for it. He offers Himself once again to you. He invites you to His table and feeds you with His love, right? Chapter 2, turn in your Bibles, chapter 2, verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under His shadow with great delight, and His fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and His banner over me was love. His banner over me, His banner that goes out to war, is over me. For me, the bride, for the church, love. His love doesn't only cover a multitude of sins. We can be more clear with that. It covers all sins. He cleanses us fully, clothes us with His perfect righteousness and merit through His atonement, through His death on the cross, makes us worthy, and brings us to His banqueting house, to His table, to celebrate His love for us. And He feeds us and feeds us and makes us drink of His love. So, as chapter 2 verse 3 says, is He sweet to our taste? Does He lie all night on your chest? Do you commune with Him? All the day, do you commune with Him? Well, come to the table and renew that communion with Him. He invites you to the table. His table that declares His unconditional love for His bride. The banner over the table. Love. Over you. Love. Jesus, your merit. Jesus, your righteousness. Clothed with His righteousness. Adorned with His love and grace and mercy. Do you want this love? Then you must come. Like verse 7, come pleading. Jesus, my beloved, where are you? Come unto me, fill me with your love. Adorn me with your merit and anoint me by your Spirit. That's the picture in this passage, our passage. Plead that with Him. The love of Christ should fill rooms as we go forth from here. That's also the picture. Matthew Henry says, when good Christians in any religious duty, especially in the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, where the King is pleased, as it were, to sit with us at His own table, have their graces exercised, their hearts broken by repentance, healed by faith, and inflamed with holy love and desires toward Christ, with joyful expectations of the glory to be revealed, then the spikenard sends forth the smell thereof. Christ is pleased to reckon Himself honored by it and to accept of it as an instance of respect to Him, as it was in the wise men of the East who paid their homage to the newborn King of the Jews by presenting to Him frankincense and myrrh. The graces of God's Spirit in the hearts of believers are exceedingly precious in themselves and pleasing to Christ. And His presence and ordinances draws them out into act and exercise. If He withdraw, graces wither and languish as plants in the absence of the sun. If He approach, the face of the soul is renewed as of the earth in the spring. And so we come to the table to drink in the love of Christ, to feed upon Him and have our soul renewed, so that we can go forth as 2 Corinthians 2, smelling like spikenard, like the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2 says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life." And Ephesians 5 says, "But ye therefore, followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So we walk in love. We go forth from here, those who have the banner of love over us, walking in love. Our bridegroom says in verse 15, this is Christ, "Behold, thou, church, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes." Oh, how He loves us! And then, verse 16 and 17, the church responding, the bride responding, "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved. Yea, pleasant also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir." The response is, oh, how we love Him. And that's what must be in our hearts. Oh, how we love Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise. We're thankful for the love that You show us through Your Son, that our husband, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, loves us. And He's manifested that love in the gospel. He's shown it to us. And we come, we believe it. We know He loves us. And so, Father, we pray that You do Your great work and grant us, as we plead, commune with us. Oh, husband, commune with us, Jesus. And may we love You as You love us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.